Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day.
Today I'd like to take a look into Dr. James Maloney's book, The Dancing Hand of God, Volume 2. You don't have to look very far to see the vastness of desperation among people straining under the vexation of life's struggles. So often, bodies and souls are laden with torments, seemingly without any answer. Yet a clarion message, a clear message, is coming forth in these last days that is restoring faith to the needy. And that is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With so many voices screaming to be heard in the church today, we must ask ourselves the question, is what I'm hearing in accordance with the example and teaching of Jesus? Would Jesus have functioned in the manner being presented to me? Am I seeing a clear representation of his present-day ministry? The apostles, with their breaker anointing, created an apostolic people who have an understanding of the eternalness of Jesus Christ. They know he's not changed one iota in 20 centuries. Never in the history of mankind. It takes something special, more than the average, that breaker anointing, to create in people an attitude that Jesus Christ is desperately desiring of blessing the people of his church and of the world. The apostles, while operating the signs, wonders, and miracles of Jesus Christ, show that he aches for the people. He's passionate about blessing us. Since Christ is absolutely incapable of change, his attitude towards sickness must, therefore, remain the same. It says in the Bible he healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people in Matthew 4. And we can read in Acts that the ministry which Jesus had began to do and teach, that he had began, and he continues on in us. The Gospels display the marvelous deeds the Lord began. And the book of Acts tells us that he continued through his body in signs, wonders, and miracles after his ascension. History has recorded incalculable examples of God's continuing love and powerful interventions. Today, the apostles and apostolic people are writing the history of tomorrow. Jesus Christ has not changed. Our understanding of his personage and his attributes of his existence establish in us a greater faith, yielding confidence for the supernatural. So, I ask the question, whatever happened to the signs, wonders, and miracles? Well, let me tell you that the miracles, healing, deliverance, the intervention of God in our lives is still going on today.
Here we go. Part of the curriculum
requirements for attending Christ for the Nations Institute was to sign up ministry. So I decided to go for it. Nursing home ministry. I tried that myself. Sounds pretty simple. Sing to some elderly folks, read them some Bible stories. Hey, no biggie. Actually, I figured, what better way, better place to learn how to minister to the sick, oppressed, and depressed than a nursing home? And at that time, way back in the early 70s, the Dallas-Fort Worth area had over 100 nursing homes just ripe for the picking. So, I began to visit some of these nursing homes and in and around the school. These visits become amazing times of tremendous experience for me as the Lord began to teach me sensitivity concerning to whom I was to minister. I mean, realistically, just about everyone in a nursing home needs some kind of healing, right? There are dozens of rooms packed with needy people and just no way to pray for everyone on a, say, a Sunday or Saturday afternoon visit. So what can you do? You begin to recognize the prodding of the Lord. Pray for this one. Lay hands on that one. This one needs deliverance. There were about 12 or 15 students on the nursing home ministry team, and we'd go together early in the morning to pray, then head out to this place or another, walking from room to room, waiting for the Lord to stop us and say, here's one. Pray for this one. We saw some of the most astounding miracles during these trips. I remember leading a 91-year-old man to the Lord the night before he passed away. Then there was this elderly woman, so tormented by demons, she was strapped onto a bed. As she writhed and screamed, you could watch teeth marks begin to appear on her body as demons were physically biting her. Amazing. That's demon-possessed. So, I took authority over the spirits, and she was delivered and fell into a perfect sleep, the first one she had in weeks. The bite marks, must have been 100 of them, instantly disappeared. There was those kind of miracles. Could you use one like that today? One in particular, the subject of this recounting occurred as I was passing by an open door that led into an elderly woman's dormitory. I felt as if the hand of God grabbed a hold of my chest and threw me into the room. No exaggeration. I was to see a daughter panicking over her mother, who was quite obviously choking to death. It turns out the daughter had been feeding the mother, and the older woman, upon taking a deep coughing breath, managed to lodge a small chicken bone somewhere in her windpipe. She was not able to breathe and was turning a nasty shade of blue. The daughter fell to her knees and began to cry out, oh God, don't take my mother from me. I can't live without her. She suddenly noticed me, tears in her eyes, and blurted out, is there anything you can do? Needless to say, I fell to pieces. Every tiny bit of strength, power, faith, just ebbed out of my body, leaked out of my shoes, and disappeared into that tiled floor. I squirmed out of the room, thankfully turning left down the hall, because turning right would have put me straight in line with the elevator. A welcome sight! Condemnation replaced the faith that had seeped out. I heard this voice in the back of my head, you blew it, Jim. You'll never be in ministry again, coward. You had this perfect opportunity to glorify God and you blew it. He won't trust you anymore with anything. Those screams blew through my mind in a nanosecond, and I felt as if I was moving through a thick, black, spiritual mud. I felt so condemned. I shuffled toward the end of the hall, where there was a window looking down several stories. The more I walked, the worse I felt. But then I felt in my spirit I was neglecting something that I had been taught by the instructors of Christ for the Nations. One has to learn with how to engage one's inner spirit man. So, in front of all those nurses that were running into that choking lady's room, I began to pray aloud in warfare-like tongues, whipping my spirit into action. I didn't feel any better, but out of force, I made myself turn back around and wade through that spiritual mud into that woman's room. I heard someone shouting, "Where's the doctor? Where's it?" The nurses were doing CPR, pounding on the poor lady's chest. She was very much blue, by now pallid, deathly. I was still praying fervently, out loud, in tongues, and this thought jumped into my head. "Great, Jim. What are you going to do? Now you're going to walk past her room again?" All of a sudden, I love it. Something leapt into my spirit, and I felt as if hot oil was poured on the top of my head. It oozed down my hair, ran down my shoulders, and covered my entire body in this tingling warmth. Something got a hold of me. It was like liquid confidence, fire burning in my stomach. Again, it was like I changed clothes in a place, a phone booth, and become superhuman. It was pure faith. Pure, undiluted, raw faith. God's kind of faith. The kind he has himself. And nothing is impossible to him because he's God. When you're God, you can have that kind of faith in yourself and give a little bit of away to others. So he gave me some of it, some of that faith just then. Before I fully grasped what was happening, I was caught in this supernatural experience. I rushed into the room. The four nurses parted like the Red Sea before me. Without even looking up, they hadn't seen me race into the room because their backs were turned to me. They just moved to side, and I bounded up on that woman's bed. She looked into me, though I can't state that as a medical certainty. She must have at least been very nearly expired. At any rate, she was completely without pulse or breath, rigid. I stuck my hands on her forehead and I cried, "I rebuke you, spirit of death." "What happened?" she croaked. Instantly her eyes fluttered, color come back into her face. She sat up, took a breath, "What happened?" and looked around. You should have seen the nurses and the daughter's faces. They looked at me like I was wearing a pirate's costume, or maybe a Superman costume. I felt the Lord quickly urge me away. I could have stayed and given them my name and, you know, "Hey, tell your pastor about me and in your church. I'm a Bible school student," something. But they just stared at me, open mouthed, as I calmly walked out of the room and turned right this time toward the elevators. Halfway down the elevator, I felt this gift of faith lift off me, and I crumpled to the floor. What in the world just happened up there? So today I share with you what God can do for you. Maybe you haven't heard it before, but once again, it's where you look, what you listen to, that can change your life. If you listen to trouble and sorrow and a doctor's bad report and the political trouble and upheaval around you, you may miss what God is able to do, he will do in your life. But you need to learn about it. You need to hear it. It needs to go into your ears and mind and heart and body. I want to tell another story from Dr. Maloney, his adventures. I don't know what it is he said about bus depots down in Dallas, but the Lord had really used it as I was attending Christ for the Nations. It was his place of ministry, you know. Maybe it'll be your home. But this is where he learned a lot in ministry. As I was attending Christ for the Nations, the Lord began to reveal certain attributes of his nature. I've already shared that he started at one time to teach us to be sensitive to the divine flow of love to operate out of compassion and who to minister to in this world. But there's another remarkable occurrence that happened at a bus depot that taught me a level of boldness to reach out to people in need. I was learning to step out in confidence, free from intimidation, free from the circumstances that surrounded my life, my upbringing, my fears of rejection. I see now the Lord was developing within me attributes of His own confidence. I'd like to share a little with you on how that confidence that I received relates to the release of what I call the apostolic anointing. So, I found myself once again at a bus station, waiting around for the Lord to lead me to a person who needed the same ministry. It's funny, but I recall having just another powerful Smith Wigglesworth book I was reading, and he had some remarkable miracles that outlined in his book how one should make themselves available for ministry. And the Lord would answer that obedience to be bold as a lion, to step out with confidence and meet the people where they are at. So here we are at this bus station. Now the Lord honored my zeal. I eagerly watched a bus pull into the depot, thinking myself, well, here's an opportunity, Lord. I felt I could take on the whole world. Let me at them. The bus stop had a whole group of people there, maybe 200 or so, comprised solely of African Americans, which seemed strange to me at the moment, like they were one big group coming from somewhere together. As I was pondering where all these men and women came from, a bus pulled up, and a gentleman disembarked, sporting a small suitcase in one hand and a cane in the other. It was obvious, as he gingerly stepped off the bus, that he was unable to bend one of his legs. He grimaced, leaning into the cane for support. I stood in front of the man, stopping the people behind him trying to get off the bus. And in my most Wigglesworth voice, I boldly said, "Do you desire to be made whole?" Everybody stopped and looked at me. The man's eyes narrowed on me, and I thought he was going to burst out laughing. But instead he said, "Are you talking to me about this healing stuff? You know, my sister was just at Catherine Coleman's miracle service and got healed of cancer. I'm scheduled this week to have my bum leg amputated. I've got dozens of tumors in this leg that doctors can do nothing about. It's why I'm here in the city." Talk about a divine setup. "Well, let me pray for you in the name of Jesus, and we'll believe you get healed." Sounded simple enough to him, so he nodded. I invoked the name of Jesus. I rebuked the tumors. That was it. "Well, son," he tottered for a second. Then he dropped his suitcase and cane, says, "Here goes." He took one hard step forward on his bad leg. It came down to strike the concrete. I heard a snap, a crackle, pop. And amazingly, he took a step forward. The tumors in his leg had disappeared entirely. He was instantly made whole. You can imagine. He began to rejoice. The man was twirling around and singing praises, his cane and suitcase forgotten, having our own private revival meeting. It was just phenomenal. But what is most funny was that the group of some 200 black men and women were doing the same. I mean, they were going nuts, leaping, twirling, screaming, whooping, hollering, right there in front of the bus terminal, causing a tremendous scene. Everybody was having a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost shouting party. I was dumbfounded as to why all these people would be shouting and rejoicing. It took me several minutes to discover the whole lot was coming back from a Pentecostal revival conference. Oh my Lord. Thank you.
Messiah. He truly was God to you, and he's God in the pulpit, God way down at the door, God in the amen corner, and he's God all over the floor. I know God, saying that he won't ever change. No, no, God, he always will be God.
See what else God can do as we read Dr. Maloney's account of his experiences with God in bringing people out of their natural, miserable life and converting them to a life of supernatural love and help from God. This story, Dr. Maloney calls the drunk man at the bus station. It seems that bus stations are a popular place to learn ministry and nursing homes. I admit, I wasn't patient enough to wait around for churches to have me come and preach while I was a young whippersnapper attending Christ for the Nations back in the 70s. So I used, as I told you earlier, nursing homes as a ministry outreach, as an avenue to pray for the sick. Like I stated in that nursing home event, this period of time was remarkable in the way the Lord began to unveil further aspects of his character to me, teaching me to be sensitive to his guidance in knowing who I should pray for. How I learned to pray was to follow this outpouring of love from my spirit to the person in need. Some have called this a divine flow of love. One afternoon, I was ministering with a brother in the Lord under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we had seen many miracles, people saved and touched by God. Afterward, we walked to the Greyhound bus depot. Upon reaching the bus stop, we looked up a flight of steps, about 30 steps, to where there was a restaurant above and a waiting area. About halfway to the top, a man was hanging over the railing, getting sick. We immediately perceived what was wrong with him. He was stone dead drunk. A brown paper bag holding a bottle loosely clasped in one hand as he heaved over the stair railing. His clothes were tattered and filthy. The man quite easily could not have bathed in many months, perhaps years. His eyes were about as bloodshot as they could get. He was getting violently sick, and the position he was in prevented him seeing us gaping up at him. He wiped the back of his hand across his mouth, eyes glazed, unfocused. In between his heaves, he bellowed out a very strange statement. Is there any deliverance from this demon of alcohol? My friend and I startled and exchanged shocked looks. What did he say? We both kind of smirked and immediately knew this had to be some kind of divine setup. Reasonably intelligent people that we were, but this time, this flow of compassion rolled out of my spirit toward the man. I knew I was supposed to minister to him. It was a divine flow of love, a deep-seated compassion for his hurts. I felt utterly badly for him, and I desperately wanted to heal him. Instantly, my friend and I entered into a vision. This is an extremely rare occurrence for two people to have the same simultaneous vision. But in front of us, the stairs disappeared from view. They were replaced by what I can only describe as a swirling liquid glory. Fluid light, so thick in front of us as we began to climb the steps. We had to feel our way with our toes that we were indeed still there. We could not see the ground beneath us. We could only feel the railing. The glory was ankle to knee deep, rolling in front of us as we climbed. It hit the man as we reached him, and for a split second, it consumed him. He disappeared behind the liquid love. Momentarily, he turned to our view, stood stock still, straight up. "I feel God in this place," he hollered out. And he repented, "God, God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my life. I give it to you." Obviously, he had known something about salvation before coming into this state of drunkenness. In an instant, he was sober, his eyes focused. They were unglazed. The brown paper bag fell from his grip, and he began to shout, "I've been delivered from this demon. Hallelujah, praise God." He took absolutely no notice of us. He barreled past us, down the steps, whooping and hollering, praises to God. My friend and I hadn't even prayed for him. Now, we were the ones that clung to the railing, intoxicated by the glory of the Holy Spirit, wondering what had just happened. My friend, does any of these stories, testimonies, strike you as something you need, real? That's what God wants to do for you today. As we broadcast, we're broadcasting to specific people, people who have need, that have need of God's healing, deliverance, and saving power in their life. That's what I pray for you today. My friend, if you're lost, you're intoxicated or drunken with the world's trouble, your trouble, the people trouble around you, where you live, the conditions, the heaviness. Lord, I ask right now for those specifically listening today that need your glory cloud to cover them, need your healing power, your love to release them and deliver them from their life of affliction, sorrow, grief, disappointment, and fear. I ask right now for your heavenly power, your Holy Spirit to fill their room and touch them right now and deliver them. In the name of Jesus, thank you.
Like to learn more about the ministry of Dr. James Maloney? He has written two books, both titled The Dancing Hand of God, Volumes 1 and 2.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.